As we continue to look ahead at the 2022 legislative session and political calendar, our next aspiring Nostradamus is Neil Quatra, founder and CEO of Metropolitan Public Strategies, which has years of experience working for Democratic campaigns as well as progressive causes. Welcome back to the show, Neil.
Thank you, David.
So in the governor's State of the State address, she said the state's executive and legislative branches won't be fighting anymore, promising a whole new era, including an end to, quote, the days of governors disregarding the rightful role of the legislature. It all sounds great, but what do you think that will actually mean during the legislative session and during budget negotiations in particular?
I'm expecting a lot more collaboration and a lot less combat, first of all. I mean, I think naturally you're always going to have some tension between the legislature and the executive, but I think it's in everyone's interest, given the departure and all that went down with the previous governor, for the new governor and the legislature to put proverbial points on the board. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit, if you will, that they're probably going to be able to agree on. I'm sure there's some things that they may disagree on, but I think a level of cooperation and partnership is in everyone's interest, especially heading into an election year.
So you think it'll be a substantive difference, or is this essentially just the same approach to governing, but with a smile now?
Oh, no, I think there'll be substantive differences. I mean, there was a sort of imperious nature to the Cuomo reign, and I think a lot of what Governor Hochul and her team have done, I think quite successfully in the short time they've been in power, is through optics, through symbolism, through substance, through actual engagement with other governmental partners, have shown they're going to bring about a different kind of governance and the spirit of collaboration. I mean, I think obviously the rubber will meet the road as we now head into an actual legislative session where, you know, things will be negotiated and knocked back and forth, and we'll see how much that endures. But I think right now it's in everyone's interest. And I think you are going to see some substantive differences could be, you know, even process-oriented. I think you'll probably have a lot more meetings between principals and a lot more communication. I think we all heard, you know, in the past of sort of the coldness that often existed between the Senate, the Assembly, and the executive, you know, in the Cuomo administration. And I think, you know, it's going to be in everyone's interest to create a different style of partnership.
The governor's State of the State remarks were largely uncontroversial, but her legislative agenda is not without controversy, as she wants to provide tuition assistance to incarcerated New Yorkers, something the state got out of the business of in the mid-90s. Do you think this funding stream will actually return, or are you expecting a significant opposition to arise, including amongst the governor's own party?
I'm not particularly expecting, you know, a lot of opposition necessarily within the governor's party. I'm sure there will be some opposition from the opposition party. It's an election year. It's an issue that in the past has garnered, you know, some level of controversy. But, you know, I think a lot of what we saw in the State of the State are her laying out principles of priorities. And when the budget priorities come out in, you know, a couple of weeks, I think we'll have a better sense of which of those priorities are going to have real political capital behind them.
In past years, there are usually some clear dividing lines between the legislative majorities and the governor heading into the budget, which is due on March 31st. But I'm not sure if I see any obvious minefields ahead. Do you envision anything throwing a big monkey wrench into this year's budget process?
I really don't. I mean, she struck a fairly, you know, I think strategic tone with the priorities she laid out, in that sort of has a little something for everyone. I mean, it's got a bunch of, you know, climate, transportation, ethics, sort of cannabis equity, housing affordability, really kind of hits all the right notes for the issue mix, you know, if you will, for Democratic primary voters. But I think also with an eye towards the fall, understanding that 2021 was not a great year for Democrats and that Republicans are feeling, you know, a certain amount of momentum. And so, you know, tax cuts, you know, were clearly a part of the presentation. And I think we'll see that in the budget presentation as well, expediting these middle class tax cuts, a focus on going after illegal guns, being more aggressive on that front, and, you know, a nod to an anti-crime, I think, agenda more broadly, with an eye towards, you know, what will probably be, you know, a more competitive fall election than we've seen in the recent past. I still think the governor is, you know, definitely favored, but I'm sure she and her team are, you know, have an eye towards, you know, the issue frame that we're likely to have in the fall once a Republican emerges from their primary.
Turning to the state legislature and the legislative leaders specifically, do you think Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie and Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins are going to face any sort of revolt this year from emboldened progressive members in their conference, or will they be able to keep all their members marching to the same beat for the most part during this session?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I think in general, what we're seeing, whether it's at the New York City Council, the Assembly, or the Senate, that, you know, more progressive, younger, more diverse, even Congress, frankly, we're seeing this, you know, that, but I would say that definitely, you know, there, that cohort is willing to push leadership a lot more in ways that we haven't seen in the recent past. And so I don't necessarily know, or, you know, can see right now what that issue, you know, sort of mix might be. But I think in general, we should expect that younger, progressive members are gonna probably, you know, look to push leadership on certain issues that they think are important and should be priorities. And I think that's likely to be a hallmark of both caucuses, and especially given the commanding Democratic majority. We're gonna have elections, and, you know, I'm sure Republicans are looking to pick up some seats. But for now, I think that's the dynamic.
In 2018 and 2020, progressive challengers were very successful in knocking out incumbent Democrats in the state legislature, as well as establishment-backed candidates. How successful should we anticipate the progressives will be in 2022 when they take on Democratic incumbents?
I think it'll be entirely, you know, predicated, frankly, on the district. I don't think we have, you know, broad trends here. If anything, you know, as we alluded to earlier, you know, there's sort of, I think, a general expectation that Republicans are going to perform well in the 2022 midterms. And sort of given that, I think Democrats in general are going to want to hope to limit intra-party skirmishes. And some of that can't be avoided with redistricting, but I think in general, that's what they're going to hope for.
But do you anticipate in the primaries, though, that the progressives, especially the Democratic Socialists, will be as successful as they were in 2020 in winning primaries?
Again, I think it'll depend on the district. If you have an incumbent who hasn't been servicing the district, especially the last 2 years, on constituent service, on making sure that they're engaged with their community, as, you know, folks have been dealing with COVID and the economy and jobs, I think if you have candidates who are vulnerable, who have not been engaged, that absolutely they could be vulnerable to organized challenges. But I think it'll be very much dependent on the district and, you know, the dynamics at play with the incumbent.
And at this point, on the top of the ticket in the Democratic primary, is it safe to assume you think that Kathy Hochul's in real good position to be the Democratic nominee in the fall?
I do. I think she's in a commanding position right now. Obviously, you know, with the departure of the Attorney General from the race, she's in even stronger position, I think, than she was. And I think, you know, that's reflected in a lot of ways in terms of both how she and her team are governing, you know, some of their policy objectives. That's not to say, you know, we're just not going to have a robust primary, and Tom Suozzi and I assume Mayor de Blasio, you know, may also get in the race, and we'll probably have a spirited conversation at some point. But I think right now, unless things change for some reason, she's in a very strong position.
Well, we've been speaking with Neil Quatra. He is the founder and CEO of Metropolitan Public Strategies. And my own prediction for 2022 is that we will be hearing more from you, Neil. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Great talking to you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.